Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The contact information for the Christian Research Institute on the web, of course, as always, equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I did want to mention at the outset of the broadcast that I went to an orthopedic surgeon today. Of course, it had nothing to do with my cancer. I also went to my cancer doctor today, and I got a sterling report, for which I am very, very grateful. But this was sort of my doctor's day, and being in the office of an orthopedic surgeon that I'd never encountered before, I had to fill out some paperwork. And so I was going through the paperwork, and one of the questions I had to fill out was, what was my sex at birth? Well, I thought it was quite obvious, and I wondered, why in the world would I have to fill that out? I mean, it should be quite obvious that I'm a male, but I had to fill it out. But my choices were really what surprised me. I could fill out that I was a male. I could say I was a female. I could say I was something other. That was an option. Or I could just decline to say whether I was a male or a female. Why, again, I would do that, I have no idea. The next question was, in an effort to accurately refer to you in our office, please let us know how you identify yourself. And again, I got four choices. I could identify myself as a male. I could identify myself as a female, as other, or I could decline. Now, on the face of it, this means I could be something other than male or female. Because now I have the choice of identifying myself as something altogether other, as any one of more than 70 gender options, options that you can find on Facebook, or any of the endless non-binary gender identity terms that are foisted on us through the internet. And beyond genuine concern for intersex people, I think this is a clear accommodation to the current cultural madness of separating gender and sex, of disassociating a person's subjective sense of gender identity from that person's biologically determined sex. And all of this is part and parcel of what is happening in the culture today. I read in The Federalist this morning an article titled, California Passes Law Allowing 12-Year-Olds to Get Tax-Paid Transgender Treatments. The article was written by Denise Schick, and she says, and quite rightly so, you have to be 16 in order to obtain a driver's license in California. You have to be 18 to engage in consensual sex. You have to be 21 to buy marijuana. But you only need to be 12 years old to privately consent to treatment for gender transitioning. And it ought to go without saying that the choosing your gender is in reality not a choice at all. And in any case, should not be a choice for children whose brains are still in the process of development. To compel, as California does, children to make irreversible, life-changing decisions when they are disadvantaged at making prudent, proper, and permanent choices is a human travesty. Imagine the insanity of a law that places 12-year-olds ahead of adult caregivers. And these are not just any choices. These are choices that may well render those children incapable of having offspring of their own in the future. We live in an upside-down world. And as I say so often, we can curse the darkness or we can light a candle or a lamp in the midst of the gathering storm. And I hope you will do the latter, always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Let's go to the phone lines. Mario in El Paso, Texas, listening on KELP. Hi, Mario.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much, sir, for your ministry. I'm grateful to God for you because we need a voice that speaks to us on every issue, you know, in the Bible. But Hank, my question has to do with global warming. A co-worker of mine was telling me that scientists believe that our Earth will be 2 degrees Celsius warmer in 11 years, and in 11 years, there's going to be a huge deluge or flood of the islands, the west coast of the United States, the east coast of the United States, and this is because of due to human activity. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is that we ought to be very, very careful about extrapolating trends. I've mentioned on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, when I was about 20 years of age, it was 1970, that there was an article in Time magazine that pretended telltale signs of an ice age. So you had, during Earth Day, the first Earth Day in 1970, you had this specter of a looming ice age. Well, this was all based on extrapolating trends, based on mining the subjunctive, cultivating the seed of threat buried in each unrealized instance. And by the way, the prognosticators, they've said all kinds of things. You think about CNN founder Ted Turner. He said that we're going to be 8 degrees hotter in a few decades, that none of the crops would grow. And he said that a long time ago. People do not hold these pundits accountable for the predictions that they make. It's just like Y2K. They made all kinds of predictions back then. This was going to be the most serious catastrophe in history. Didn't even become a top 10 news story in the year 2000. But here's a number of questions that you want to ask all the time. And you alluded to one of them. You should ask, is the globe warming? And you should ask, in concert with that, are humans a significant factor? And while you will hear over and over again that this is settled science, the whole idea of settled science is a misnomer. There's all kinds of settled science that scientists don't accept as settled science, and that becomes a huge breakthrough for the human race. So I would be very, very careful when it comes to that. And I think you should also ask, is global warming necessarily bad? Is it really that catastrophic? Because if you look back at human history, you will find that there have been all kinds of trends. And some of those trends in the past have been warming trends, and warming trends are typically better than cooling trends, like the coming global ice age. So you have to ask, is this necessarily a bad thing? These are legitimate questions that we ought to ask. The problem today is that we're not allowed to ask these questions. The moment we do, we're shouted down as science deniers. And there's at some point, and perhaps in a show in the very near future, I'll go over a list of 12 warning signs that we ought to heed when people start using terms like climate change or global warming. These were put out by Jay Richards in a talk, and I've often thought I ought to recapitulate them on the broadcast. So let me think about doing that in the near future. In the meantime, there's an entry on global warming in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book. I've also written about this in a little booklet available through the Christian Research Institute. You can check out on the web at equip.org. We will be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the broadcast, as well as the quote of the day right after the break. So please don't touch that dial.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Wrestling with God, Church, and Religion from the beginning of his career to its end, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. Other topics include how to have a civil discussion about abortion, the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as I speak, we are experiencing the havoc wreaked by Hurricane Michael, just as a month or so ago we experienced the havoc wreaked by Hurricane Florence. But one thing that ought to be mentioned is the benefits of hurricanes. This is hard to do in the wake of a travesty, but we ought to do it nonetheless, because there are so many that will use this occasion as an occasion to trumpet, well, climate change. And I don't doubt that there is climate change, but there are questions that we have to ask whenever that subject is brought up. I mentioned some of those questions in the first part of the broadcast. But I also want to mention, before we go to our next caller, which I'll do in just a second, hurricanes are the most powerful sources of thunderstorms that produce lightning. And lightning transforms atmospheric nitrogen into plant food. Hurricanes relieve drought. Many places on this planet would not get rain apart from the phenomenon of hurricanes. Hurricanes, of course, bring oxygen to surface water. They disperse bacteria. They stop red tides. Algae blooms, very, very necessary in Florida right now. They facilitate advantageous climate change by distributing equatorial heat. They drive seeds and spores interior to restore plant life. Well, many other things could be said. They prune and clear forests. They increase the diversity of forest life. So, again, natural law works synergistically. The gravity that keeps us on the planet also enables painful falls, and so it is with hurricanes. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, John.
How are you, Hank?
I'm good, thank you.
Boy, Hank, at times like this, I'm really glad you're on the air because I've been noticing a dangerous trend with the new recent preaching, and I wanted to ask CRI's stance on this. I traditionally read the Bible and believe in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, forgive, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And of course, James 5:16, confess your sins one to another. 1 John 1:9, the operative word here is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But now, today, I just heard a Bible teacher, which I highly respected, Dr. Charles Stanley, say, he's meaning, as a Christian, your past, present, future sins are all forgiven. But that contradicts 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So there seems to be no need for repentance or confession of sins or getting right with God. This is a dangerous trend. And I don't think that Joseph Prince and Bob George, who preached this, about, you know, as a Christian, you're all forgiven for past, present, future sins. Yes, I think this is a dangerous trend. I was wondering if CRI had any input on that.
Well, yes, I've spoken about this. Now, I haven't heard Charles Stanley speak on this, but I've heard many of the people that you've mentioned or alluded to, and others, in fact, very significant apologists, make the same claim. They're warning devotees that continually confessing their sins is tantamount to cheapening God's unmerited favor, or even to mocking God or spitting in his eye. And the fact of the matter is, as you clearly point out, the Apostle John urged us as dear children in the faith who have been forgiven on the account of Christ to continually confess our sins. And that is something that we don't do just once, but we ought to do continually. In other words, the grammar is a present active subjunctive. It denotes continuing with your confession, daily confessing your sins. And this does not cheapen the grace of God. Confession purifies our hearts. It restores the joy of our salvation. And of course, the halibut, if you will, is that right now, many of these people are saying, look, you can't invoke the Lord's Prayer, as you just did in the prologue to the question. The reason you can't is that's Old Covenant. Well, that's, of course, nonsense. I won't go into the details of that. It should be self-evident. But Jesus taught his disciples, and vicariously, he taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that petition, like the contrition of David, brings with it great grace and peace and joy. The sacrifices of God, the scriptures say, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And you also alluded to James. He's the brother of Jesus. He explicitly exhorts believers to confess their sins to one another and then also to confess their sins to God. This is something that I take great joy in doing. And I can tell you that I do it every single day, not once or twice or three times, but multiple times. I confess my sins to the Lord. Each time we partake of the Eucharist, we examine ourselves. We confess our sins so that we will not come under judgment. So continuous confession brings with it a promise, and that is that God is faithful, just, will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. So these people who are dry reeds in a land that needs water, are hurting people with the statements that they are making. And unfortunately, you have such bad eisegesis. You have Prince, who you mentioned, contending that 1 John 1:9 was written to Gnostics. All one needs to do is open their Bible and they'll know that he's blowing smoke. But people, unfortunately, don't trust all things and hold fast to that which is good. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Carolyn in Vancouver, British Columbia, also listening on KARI. Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question about purgatory. I have a friend who's Catholic and is in stage 4 cancer right now. And so right now, she's been asking about purgatory and, you know, because she's going to die. And so she's scared and, of course, you know. And so she's like, well, do I have to suffer now more and have to go to purgatory to get, so then I can go to heaven? And because I'm not Catholic, so I was like, I don't think so.
No, you're absolutely right. There's no warrant for purgatory. It was officially defined by the Council of Florence, so it's fairly late in church history. It was 400 years approximately after the Great Schism, and it's officially defended later on by the Council of Trent in the 16th century. But nowhere will you find that in Scripture, and this is acknowledged by the New Catholic Encyclopedia. It acknowledges that this doctrine is not explicitly stated in the Bible. So the problem here is, with the Roman Catholic Church, you can have the Pope speaking ex cathedra or speaking from the chair, and he can invoke new dogma. And I think this is a dangerous idea, and this is where you get limbo and purgatory and the like. Purgatory, it undermines the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. You know, the Bible says that Christ, through one sacrifice, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And therefore, we can rest assured that Christ received in his own body all the punishment we deserved, absolutely satisfying the justice of God on our behalf. And not only that, you know, you remember Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. What he was in effect saying is secular koine Greek for the debt has been paid in full. And so I think with this dogma of purgatory, you have Roman Catholicism clearly undermining the seriousness of sin by forwarding the notion that there are venial sins that can be atoned for through temporal punishment in purgatory, But the Bible makes clear all our transgressions, all our iniquities, our sins against a holy God. And as such, they rightly incur an eternal rather than a temporary debt, a debt that Jesus Christ paid. We can thank God that by His grace, we have been saved through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Hank. That's what I was trying to say to her.
I'm out of time, unfortunately. I'd like to continue. I wish I could. I got 30 seconds before we're off the air. But the quote of the day, St. Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, it's a short one, but a poignant one. He said, "You cannot have God for His Father who does not have the Church for His Mother." He cannot have God for His Father who does not have the Church for His Mother. We're not Lone Ranger Christians. We need the Church, for it is in the Church that we receive the graces by which we can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Out of time. See you tomorrow with more.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.